Thank you. We continue our studies again today on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we've been dealing the past few lessons on what it means to be Spirit-filled, the opposition to such a life, the evidences of such a life. And again I say there has been so much confusion even among God's people. I wish in some way I could bear upon your hearts and minds the tremendous responsibility and privilege of getting into your Bible and find what the Bible has to say. It is so easy for one to judge the Bible in the light of experience instead of judging our experience in the light of the Bible. A person, for example, can preach and use the Word of God and preach the gospel and people be saved, and yet that man who is doing the preaching may not be a Spirit-filled man. God will confirm the Word to hungry hearts. One only needs to see these characters of the Old Testament where they did this. For Moses, for example, when he in disobedience smote the rock when he should have spoken to the rock in Numbers 20, and yet the water came out because there was a thirsty soul. And so it is today. But the Lord's great desire for you and for me is that we shall be Spirit-filled. Or, if I may use a different statement, He wants us to enjoy divine life. He wants us to live in precious fellowship with Himself. And when a believer is walking in fellowship with God in His precious will, and that believer is Spirit-filled. And the moment he's out of God's will, he's no longer Spirit-filled. I don't care what experiences he may have. And now we're dealing with the question of the evidences of a Spirit-filled life. And in our last lesson, we spoke about we would pray in the Spirit. And you remember how we went through certain portions of the Bible concerning this. Amazing thing is that God depends upon men. He always looks for men who can stand in the gap and pray. But by the same token, He also has given to us another ministry. It may be well for me to say this, that all ministry really is broken down into two things. We plead with God for men. This is the ministry of prayer and intercession. Pleading with God for men. And then we plead with men for God, and that is witnessing. But neither our prayers nor our witnessing is of much value to ourselves unless we're filled with the Spirit of God, unless we're walking in fellowship with God. So I want to say this, that when you read the book of Acts, you will notice that when the disciples were filled with the Spirit of God, you found them witnessing. For example, our Lord spoke, you remember, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before He was taken up into heaven, He said, "The Spirit of God shall come upon you." Allow me to go back to the preceding couple of verses. I'm quoting from Acts chapter 1. The disciples said to the Lord, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were still looking for an earthly kingdom. And Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own hand, but you shall receive power, the Spirit of God coming upon you, and you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." These are the final words of our Savior to His disciples. You'll be My witnesses. Now you take in Luke chapter 24. Verses 46 to 49, again, He speaks of the fact that He had died, been buried, been raised from the dead, and then He said, "And you are witnesses of these things." It's what God wants. We are to be witnesses, not isolating ourselves from people. Separation is true, separation from the evil around us. But we are not to isolate ourselves from people because we have a job. And that job is to bear testimony for Him. God is always looking for men to do this. You know, I was thinking about that in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. In verses 11 and 12, I read these words, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Here is the responsibility of the believer. He's not going to send angels. You and me, all Christians, have been called to be witnesses. Now, I didn't say preachers or teachers. I'm talking about bearing testimony for the Savior. And as I read in the New Testament, I find that the Spirit of God has a particular responsibility here to use you and me in witnessing. You take our Lord, for example, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, our Lord is starting his ministry. And allow me to quote that verse to you again, and I know I've done this before, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And our Lord's ministry was the ministry of witnessing. As he could say in John 14, "The words that I speak unto you, they're my Father's words." Now, we have a responsibility to witness. And it's rather remarkable to notice that our Lord said in Luke 24, "Tarry at Jerusalem." Now, what's the preceding word? You are witnesses of these things. But tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Even after being 3.5 years with the Savior, they must still wait until they receive the Spirit. And they were to tarry not in Galilee, but in Jerusalem. Now they met the Lord in Galilee. They met together in Galilee. But the Spirit of God was not to be given to them when they were in Galilee. They were to go back to Jerusalem, the center of things. And there they would receive the Spirit. And they were told to wait until the Spirit of God came upon them. Now you find this in Matthew 28, for example. Our Lord said to the disciples, "All authority is mine in heaven and in earth. Go ye and disciple all nations." We've got a job to do. In Acts chapter 10, verse 39, when Peter went down to the house of Cornelius, he said, "We are witnesses of these things." And the moment the Spirit of God came upon the early disciples, they immediately became witnesses. You remember the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, filled with the Spirit of God, preached in Jerusalem. 3,000 were saved. A few days afterwards, he preached again in the city of Jerusalem, and 5,000 were saved. And then Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached, and a great crowd were brought to the Savior. The Apostle Paul gave 3 missionary journeys. What's he doing? He's out witnessing for the Savior. And wherever you are, whoever you are, if you love the Savior, in some way or another, we are to bear testimony. And when we're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll witness. You know, it's a remarkable thing. Why are we so timid about witnessing? Because we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And the Lord knows that. He knows that all the powers of hell and the world and the flesh will be opposed to it. So he has indwelt us by his Spirit. And as we yield ourselves as Christians, the Spirit of God then moves through us. In fact, we just become the channels, the vehicles to bring the Word of God to men. You know, I was thinking again about those three brief commands of Christ. Do you remember them? In Matthew 9, Jesus said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest." In John chapter 4, "Lift up your eyes and look, the fields are white unto harvest." And in Matthew 28, "Go ye." So we get vision. Look ye. You see a world with its millions out of Christ. We see our neighbors and our friends out of Christ. Then that puts upon our hearts a burden to pray. So we pray, and I trust we pray in the Spirit, because it's the desire of God that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth. But how are they going to come to the knowledge of the truth? God looks for you and for me to do the job. And we should be filled with the Spirit of God. So I see those three brief commands. Look ye, that's vision. Pray ye, that's you get a burden for them. And then go ye, you to become the channel of blessing. It's a remarkable thing that God can take any believer and use them for His glory. You know, I'm reminded of a dear saint here in Portland. When she came to know the Savior, she was a woman in her 40s, when she came to know the Savior, and I had spoken one morning on this question, the value of witnessing, the responsibility of witnessing, and she said, "Oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. Why, my friends wouldn't even listen to me." Well, I said, "I don't know your friends. How are they going to hear?" You know, about 3 or 4 months afterwards, she came back to me just glowing with joy. What she had done, she just planned to bring her neighbors in, her friends in, of a club to which she belonged, and just they had an afternoon, just one at a time, and she had the joy of witnessing to all of these people who were members of the club in which she was. And most of them have never heard the real, wonderful gospel of the grace of God. You see, there's a distortion of the gospel today. The average person doesn't know. They've got a vague idea that Jesus died, and some way, if you're accepting, you become religious. And even then, they don't even go that far. Sometimes they will oppose you. Sometimes they'll tell you to shut up. But nevertheless, God has restricted this question of witnessing to us. And the filling of the Spirit is a very needed thing in your life and my life. And you'll notice the power to witness is the Spirit of God. That's why He said, "You wait until you receive the Holy Spirit." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the verse of Jack, which I think is the key verse of the book of Acts, when He said, "You shall receive power, the Spirit of God coming upon you, and you shall be My witnesses to every part of the world." Do you remember in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 to 33, after the first opposition to the gospel, they came back and they had a prayer meeting. And what do you think they prayed for? Boldness to witness. They prayed for boldness to witness. And when they were praying for boldness to witness in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God came upon them. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Spirit. Then I read right after that, "Then with great boldness gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." They prayed for boldness to witness. And sure enough, the Spirit of God came upon them to do this. So allow me to say this, and I'm repeating this, in Luke's Gospel and in the book of Acts, are the two books where it speaks of being Spirit-filled. Apart from one other verse, and that would be Ephesians 5:18, where Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Apart from that one verse, Luke is the only one who talks about it. And notice, if you follow it through, it's, for the most part, coupled with witnessing. For example, in Luke chapter 1, you have Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit, and he prophesied, he witnessed. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And what did he say? "I'm only the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Elizabeth, his mother, was filled with the Spirit, and she prophesied. And then you come to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 2, and you have Simeon, filled with the Spirit. What did he do? He prophesied. That is, he bore testimony of the truth. In chapter 4, Our Lord, in the very first verse, was filled with the Spirit, was led by the Spirit, returned in the power of the Spirit, and then could say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he bore witness. And it's not mentioned again until you come to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And 10 times in the book of Acts, it speaks of them being filled. And in nearly every case, they bore testimony to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God confirming the word by the Spirit through the believer. As John's Gospel said, the Spirit of God will bear witness, and we too shall bear witness of the Savior who can save men from sin. And it may be I'm talking to some this morning or today, and you have never accepted the Savior. May I take the opportunity to be a channel from God to you to inform you that the Lord has made all the provision necessary for you to be redeemed from sin. He's made the provision for you to have a divine pardon, to be forgiven every trespass, to receive eternal life, to cause you to become a child of the living God. And then he's willing and wants to join you to himself for eternity. He wants to make you the very object of his continual care and love. And you say, well, how can I have all these things? By just putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. What I'm trying to get to your heart is, and especially to those of you who are Christians, as you and I walk in fellowship with the Lord opens doors continually for us to bear testimony. You know, see, well, Mr. Mitchell, I try to give a testimony, but you know, I've never had the joy of really leading a person to Christ. Now, don't let that bother you. All God wants you to do is to bear testimony. He wants you to walk with him. He'll do the rest. I've had people tell me years afterwards that I had led them to the Savior. I said, I didn't know that. I remember witnessing to you. Yes, but I went home and I accepted the Savior. And I hadn't seen him for quite a long while. Oftentimes I've had this experience of people coming up and saying, do you remember the day you led me to the Lord? And I don't remember doing that. I remember witnessing to them. But the Spirit of God took the Word of God. For you remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that as we witness, the Spirit of God undertakes for us. You say, but Mr. Mitchell, I'm very, very frail in my testimony for the Lord. Be that as it may. May I encourage your heart in 2 Corinthians, where in chapter end of chapter 2, where Paul says, we are a sweet savor unto God, both in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of life unto life, and to the other a savor of death unto death. And who is sufficient for these things? In other words, the Lord of glory just loves to have you talk about his Son. And you can well afford to leave the results with him. I know it's very nice to have footage. It's very nice to hear people accept the Savior. And it fills you with joy. Thank the Lord for it. But don't be discouraged if in your testimony you don't see some apparent result. The Lord will take care of that. He has said in Isaiah 55, his word would not return void. And you are a sweet savor unto God, whether people are saved or whether they're not saved. If you talk about his Son, his wonderful Son who died that you and I might be saved. Now may the Lord make it very precious and very real to you today. Don't be afraid to give a testimony, if it's only a few words, and especially by your life, so that people will know exactly where you are, where you stand. And the Lord will confirm the word to their hearts. May he give you that joy today.